On with Mario Lopez.
What up? It's Mario Lopez. Joining me now in studio, the star, the new season of The Bachelor, Mr. Nick Vile. How's it going, man?
Good. How you doing, buddy?
Good to see you, buddy. Good to see you. So you look happy.
Thanks.
look like you're in love. Who'd you pick?
I'm always happy. And we'll see.
All right, we will see. So you're well trained. You have your team here making. How does it feel when you do press and you have literally a team of people watching you to make sure you don't reveal any names?
I'm among friends. You know, they are here today, but they do not follow me around.
It's not like Secret Service. They don't follow you home.
And so you aren't the only one who tries to get information out. It's actually, I enjoy almost kind of keeping it from people. In a sense of, it kind of creates an excitement. It's, I have a secret. They want to know. It's kind of fun not to tell them.
Yeah. Are you good at keeping secrets generally?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah. Sometimes, well, we'll see. Yeah.
Not always, but yeah, I've gotten better. That's for sure.
Now, this is your third time on the show plus Bachelor in Paradise. Correct?
Yeah.
So you would be the most experienced Bachelor in this franchise. Is that fair to say?
I think it's fair to say that I came in being the Bachelor probably with as much preparation as anyone who's ever been in my shoes before. So that's probably fair to say.
Yeah. And so you hadn't had an experience where you did not want to come back. It's you've enjoyed them clearly because you keep coming back.
I mean, there's
right?
certainly been some low points. It's almost been on a case-by-case basis. When I went on for Andy's season, I didn't know anything about it. My friends signed me up. They reached out. I thought, hey, maybe I'll see the world and maybe I'll meet a great girl. Who knows?
Yeah.
Maybe I won't. And so I ended up...
That's a good approach, too, by the way.
Yeah,
you have to be realistic
about
right.
it, right? You know, I came in open-minded, but I didn't know anything about Andy,
yeah.
you know? So I was like, I might not like her, but I figured I'll give it a shot. I ended up really liking her. It didn't work out. And I truly thought I was done at that point. And then I happened to cross paths with Caitlin and we struck up a friendship, which, happened right before she was asked to be the Bachelorette. And it was enough of a situation to, compel me to take a risk. And that didn't work out. And again, I thought I was done with the franchise. They asked me to do Paradise and I don't know if you've seen Paradise, but it's a pretty fun atmosphere.
It's a good time.
I kind of reluctantly said no a few times. And then finally I heard some of my friends were going, I was like, you know what, screw it. I'm going to hang out at a beach for 3 weeks and I'll hang out with my friends and maybe I'll meet someone. Maybe I won't. I very much went into Paradise kind of relaxed and low key. I really didn't go in with any expectations.
Yeah.
Again, I went open-minded, but
right.
it was just like, we'll see. And then I also just kind of went about my life. And then all of a sudden they gave me a call and asked me if I wanted to be the Bachelor, which was unexpected. But, again, each situation kind of happened on its own.
Right.
You know? And so it's weird. It's unique. I didn't expect it. I didn't plan it, but it's how it's happened.
Is it easier now because of that to see through the drama? Have you gotten pretty good?
Yeah. I mean, I think I might take a different approach than maybe some of my predecessors in the past. I think it's important to recognize what Bachelor World is and what it isn't. Like it is a TV show. It is not a normal dating atmosphere. And I think it's important to acknowledge that. I think it's weird to pretend that it's a regular situation. And so I think you also take those opportunities to use to help you get to know these women. You know, you are limited in your time. So there's other things that you have to do to try to see how they react in certain situations. And so I certainly think I was as prepared as anyone. I like to think I'm a fairly good judge of character, but I also like confident women. I like women who aren't afraid to take some risks and be assertive and aren't always worried about what their peers are going to think. As long as they have the best intentions and they are focused on what's important, I'm not worried about if they do something to ruffle people's feathers. And so I thought that maybe that might be an interesting approach to handling it. I think it helped me get to know these women. And subsequently, I think it also might make some decent TV.
And these women... more so than any other group of women that have gone as The Bachelor, they probably know you better than they've known any other man.
Yeah.
In this particular season, right? Because they really
in a sense, but also in one way that
they know
some,
you to some
that
degree.
Was something that actually I was a little nervous or skeptical about. I was hoping whether it was realistic or not that these women would kind of come in with a clean slate, whether they thought the world of me or whether they had some questions.
Mm-hmm.
That's not to say that I don't feel like I overall have been accurately portrayed, But at the same time, I think meeting someone in real life is a lot different than watching them on TV. And I just certainly didn't want any of the women to feel like I was anything other than just a normal guy or starstruck. I wanted the women to just say, I'm going to meet a guy, his name's Nick, and then we'll go from there.
Right.
I didn't want them to come in with any preconceived notions, and I certainly was hoping they would give me an opportunity to just get to know me.
What did you think about this one? Hold on, I'll take a second to play.
So excited to be here. Before coming, all my girlfriends were like, no, he's a complete piece of...
Okay.
I think my response was kind of like, I think it says it all. But all right, well, that's one approach. I tried to give all the women a pretty wide berth in terms of what they came out with.
Well, they try to be clever. They try to be funny. The first impressions are always my favorite. I make sure I check it out. What was up with the girl with the shark? And you gave her a rose.
Would you not have?
I guess so.
Like it takes
right?
a lot of moxie to do that. It
takes a lot of something.
I wasn't entirely sure what she looked like.
That's true. Because
most
she masked,
of the night,
right.
she would have to, you know, lean her head back, and I saw basically right below her eyes down.
But yeah, that's true.
She made me laugh. It was funny. I mean, it was, you know, I had to see what she looked like, and anyone who can own that environment in such a stressful situation is definitely going to get a rose. I mean, that was like, she actually had that rose locked down by just keeping it
well,
on.
It worked. Like, it worked. You also gave a first impression rose to Rachel, the lawyer. So walk us through that decision. Like on paper, that seems like an easy call, right?
It was. I mean, nothing against the other women, because mm-hmm. there were a lot of great choices, but I almost feel like my choice with Rachel was a bit of a no-brainer. From the moment Rachel got out of the limo, she talked about fantasy football, which I thought was great. She acted like she belonged, and if that makes sense, like
she's
confident. She didn't act like the environment was too big for her. She weirdly enough made me feel very relaxed. In a night that I'm focused on just trying to make sure the women feel comfortable, she was like, "Hey, let's just hang out and chill and talk." I really appreciate that. She's obviously beautiful. She's smart. I'm very attracted to women with intelligence. She's went to law school in my hometown, and it was a no-brainer.
Nice. So you're engaged to Rachel.
Maybe.
And you had a little history with one of the women, Liz, right? Yeah. Is that a positive, negative? How'd you feel about that?
You'll have to tune in. I was caught off guard. I recognized her right away. She got out, and so I'm like, holy crap, that's Liz. And then she kind of had this like awkward smile, but a lot of the women did. It's very nerve-wracking. So she's walking up. I'm like, it's Liz. And then she just kind of was like, hey, and didn't say her name. And I didn't, you know, on the off chance that I was wrong, like in the off chance that this was Liz's doppelganger.
Right.
And I didn't want to be like, hey, it's good to see you. And have her be like, what are you talking about? So I just
good to see
you
is always better than nice
I
to meet you.
I just shut my mouth and just kind of let her say whatever she was going to say. And then she just kind of pretended that we never met.
Yeah.
I learned after watching it that she was.
She was trolling you.
She was trying to see if I remembered, and then weirdly liked that I didn't. Which I'm watching it back, and I see some of the things that you guys see as the first time. I don't see the commentary that the women give.
Right, because it's edited.
Edited or not, but you know, I don't. You know, I'm not in the room when women are kind of giving their feedback
right,
on the situation.
Sure.
Your testimony, right? We call them ITMs, but. So when she was like, I'm kind of glad that he doesn't remember, I'm thinking, wait, didn't, like, I'm assuming she came at least with the hope that I might be the person she'd want to spend the rest of her life with. So
right.
It seemed odd that she was digging the fact that I don't remember.
I would love a girl like that. I'm just
she, approach
it
me like you didn't remember. That's great.
It caught me off guard. At the same time, I was curious why she was there. Our conversation didn't go the best because she continued to play the she just you don't quite see it because you know they can't show everything.
Yeah.
But when we first started talking, she took the approach of pretending we just met. She's like, "Oh, it's so nice to meet you," and that's when you see me say, "We've met before."
Yeah.
And then she kind of like comes clean. She's like, "I didn't think you would know." I'm like,
"Is this a trick?"
Well then why are you?
She's
still,
already playing games.
Like, why are you still here? But I did give her a rose, and I was torn.
You did give her a rose.
Part of me wanted to just be like, listen, I mean. Yeah.
Sounds complicated
I think it's best that you go. But
Nick, that's complicated.
I thought to myself, listen, this is a woman that at least when I first met her, I was very intrigued by. And it took a lot of guts at least to show up. And we didn't get to finish our conversation. So I thought I at least owed it to her to give her a rose, have a conversation, and really figure out what the heck's going on. So I think people should tune in next week to, you know, we do have a conversation.
Okay.
And
now you're engaged.
We'll see how it goes.
Exactly.
And we might be engaged.
When you were on Kimmel, did you know Andy and Caitlin, a couple of your exes, were going to be on? Did they surprise you with that?
I caught wind that that might happen. Andy and I are not, I would say, close friends where we keep in touch, but we do communicate from time to time. We're very friendly and cordial, and we communicated. I might have gotten a heads up from my friend Andy. I don't have any communication with Caitlin, so it was certainly interesting.
Yeah,
thought it was ironic, but
fun.
It's always surprising when people show up.
Yeah, no.
When you know, anyways.
But. I can imagine. What do you think about Kareem Abdul-Jabbar? Like NBA Hall of Famer, watching the show and the strong op-ed.
He didn't have positive things to say about the show, but on the positive note, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar knows I exist.
Yeah.
And he is the all-time leading scorer in NBA history.
Yeah, it's sort of weird, right?
On the plus side.
Yeah. It's a major plus that it's on his radar. That's kind of funny.
Like, he knows I exist. I mean, Kareem, the dream. Or that's a lot. Anyway.
You have any New Year's resolutions?
I'm not a big resolution guy. I find that if you have resolutions like that, they tend to last about a week, you know.
And then you end up disappointing yourself.
Yeah, like listen, always try to do positive things. I mean, I always try to eat healthy. I never do. But yeah, I'm not a big resolution guy. I mean, you know, every day you can set a new goal. It doesn't have to be the new year.
There you go. All right, I'm gonna put you on the spot. Quick questions, quick answers. All right. Your perfect soundtrack for a romantic date. What music?
You can just pick one song.
Or one song. What's a go-to song when you want to get
Michael Bublé? That's pretty.
There you go.
Right?
Michael Bublé, that's good. You want to get busy?
Or a little R. Kelly.
Oh, that's there you go. Yeah. That's now you're going
depends
next
if
level.
It's, if it's
Michael
Liz
Bublé
or not.
Into R. Kelly. Yeah. That's when you're ready to go next level.
I mean, I am from the. I was born in the 80s, so.
There you go.
R. Kelly really got me through high school.
Nice. First show on your DVR.
Other than The Bachelor right now?
Other than The Bachelor.
No. It was Breaking Bad when it was on. I don't really DVR a lot of things. I know, I'm sorry.
You don't watch too much TV, huh?
I'm a Netflix guy, you know. Okay. You know, I like to watch movies, and I like to catch up on, like, a Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
Like, I like to be
you
able
just
to watch
binge it.
Binge it.
There you go.
And go through it.
That's the new deal now. Yeah. Celeb crush growing up.
Growing up, I was a big Selma Hayek fan.
Nice
Desperado
days.
Really changed my life.
Right?
Yeah.
So hot there.
Yeah.
So hot there.
Was,
and 50 years old and still looking great.
She's 50?
She's 50.
She is
wow.
Fantastic. She is a treat.
Yeah, there you go. Time travel destination.
Time travel? Wow, so many options.
All of time.
I would definitely go to the past, right? Because I don't want to know what's going on in the future. I want to be surprised.
Well, what era?
The 50s, 1950s.
Yeah. 50s has to be hard to date. Everybody was getting married really young.
There were some dark things about that time.
Holding
was,
hands was scandalous.
That's what I'm saying.
The 50s were all about like things were like Mad Men, right? A lot of things were hush-hush. But at the same time, it was kind of like when America really became a powerhouse. Like it really be kind of after World War II, post-World War II, a lot of interesting things happened in
things
our
were
country.
Booming.
That's true. People did secretly do naughty things. It just wasn't really
was
talked about.
Yeah, but pregnant women also smoke and drank.
Yes.
During
you could also smoke. You could smoke on airplanes.
Time, but it was
but
also
it was
a very interesting time, like post-World War II.
Yeah.
And things like that. I'm a big history buff, so I think that would be fascinating.
Yeah, no, that'd be cool. What superpower would you like?
Teleporting
to the 50s. There you go.
Well, the movie Transporter where he just kind of go anywhere,
right?
Jumper.
Yes,
thank you.
Transporter was one with Jason Statham.
Yeah, he transported illegal things in a car.
The same thing. I don't want that.
Which is kind of cool too, though.
Jumper is Hayden Christensen going wherever he wants.
Both are cool.
Like, I'm gonna have a late night in London and then I'm gonna pop back and go to bed in my own bed.
That's baller right there.
You know, that's
I like
not
it.
Bad.
That's not bad at all. And the new season of The Bachelor on Mondays is not bad either. You can follow him on Twitter at ViolNicholas28. Thanks for coming out today,
man.
You got it.
On with Mario Lopez.